This is an encore edition of Call the Roll, first broadcast April 27th, 2013. Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivanek, Communications Director for the Columbus City Council. On this week's show, Minority Health Month in Columbus, but we begin with community gardens. It is estimated that there are more than 250 community gardens in Columbus. That's the most per capita than any other metropolitan area. Gardens are oftentimes located at churches, schools, and vacant parcels held by the city's land bank. And recognizing the many benefits of community gardens, the City of Columbus and Franklin County announced recipients of their joint Community Garden Grant Program. In all, $53,200 in funding was allocated to 42 local community gardens this year. This is the third year for the program. With Assistant Communications Director Adam Letty as Health and Human Services Committee Chair, Councilmember Priscilla R. Tyson.
Thank you. Community gardens are so important in our community because, one, it allows the communities to be able to repurpose the land in their communities, and it helps to bring neighborhoods together Community gardens are so important. It was a fabulous day this morning at Franklin Park Conservatory and Botanical Gardens, where they have beautiful public gardens there. This was an important day as we celebrate Earth Day, that we also celebrate community gardens. I've been involved in the community gardening process since about 2007, where a group of community residents came to council and basically asked for some assistance because they had been working in their neighborhoods to beautify their community. So with a very small grant of about $5,000, we leveraged those dollars with their blood, sweat, and tears to be able to use their volunteer resources to help these gardens. But also, we had an opportunity to work with Scott's, and they supplied a lot of the product materials that would be necessary for those gardens. So since about 2007, we have been supporting beautification of public lands, and then we added the community gardening aspect to that. And so if you now fast forward to 2013, we've invested this year about $35,000 in community gardening. That money is being leveraged again with Scott's Miracle-Gro, and we have about 34 gardens that will be in community neighborhoods within central Ohio. We're really excited because community gardens do a number of things. They allow us to repurpose the land within neighborhoods and use that land to grow fruits and vegetables, which are definitely needed in communities. It also, they allow for the collaboration of the individuals that live within those communities. It gives them an opportunity to know each other, to gain leadership skills, to be able to really continue to bring their community together for it to grow and to thrive. So it's really exciting that we have these gardens, and I look forward to each year being able to support these amazing gardens in our neighborhoods.
And you visited community gardens all over the city. I know you've spent time at the American Addition Garden by the Traley Community Center and Highland West and some of our other gardens. What's sort of the energy you see on the ground when you're out meeting with the gardeners and the people who utilize these gardens?
Oh, the energy is just unbelievable. They feel so good about the work that they're doing. I mean, it really is great to be able to, one, I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to be able to put your hands in the ground, the feeling that comes from there, but also to be able to plant something and then to watch it grow. The community just gathers around that idea and watching the fruits and vegetables grow. And again, it brings its fellowship amongst the neighborhoods, and it's just an incredible energy that within our community. And what ends up happening is a garden, as you've heard earlier today, the garden in American Addition, from that garden, they have now, there's been new development within that community. In the Highland West Garden, we certainly have the schools coming over, and the young people are learning all about community gardening there. And so that's a year-long project. So it really does change neighborhoods, and it allows neighborhoods to thrive and grow.
And as a gardener yourself, what advice would you give to somebody who's interested in starting a community garden, or even in starting a garden just at their own home?
The advice I would give is that certainly you want to have great materials to be able to have your garden. You want to also seek out expertise from people who have grown gardens, and there are a number of people and organizations that do that. And you can certainly contact the Franklin Park Conservatory, and Bill Dawson loves to work with neighborhoods to be able to have a garden. They also have programs if you want to have a garden within your own community, with your own backyard. Also, Local Matters has also been doing a lot of work with having a garden in your own backyard. So there are a number of organizations that can help you in having a garden, and also even the retail stores in our community that have a lot of gardening products, they will also be of assistance. So yeah, there are a lot of resources.
Anything else you'd like our audience to know about community gardening and your involvement in it?
That they're just fabulous to have in your backyard or even in your community. Again, it's just a great way to bring the community together and for it to move forward together.
Partner organizations such as the Scotts Miracle-Gro Company, Clean Turn LLC, the Columbus Foundation, and Franklin Park Conservatory and Botanical Gardens help to make the program possible by supplying in-kind products and services. From Scotts is Sue Locke.
Partnerships have been really key for us at Scotts in our move to help bring more gardens and green spaces to the residents of Central Ohio. So we are happy to be celebrating more than 10 years with the Columbus Foundation and Franklin Park Conservatory and the Scotts Miracle-Gro Community Garden Academy Fund. And we have worked with more than 100 community garden organizations in Central Ohio. And it's been really a pleasure for us to be a part of so many greenscapes around Columbus. We've also been a partner with Franklin Park Conservatory and their Growing to Green program, and the conservatory has been a big part of our National Grow 1000 program. That program is our commitment to install and support 1,000 community gardens in the U.S., Canada, and Europe by 2018.
That's impressive. Now, Sue, you've been involved for a while, and obviously Scotts has as well. Have you seen sort of momentum building, greater involvement from the community as the years have gone by on the community gardening?
You know, I would say that community gardening, we in Central Ohio are very, very fortunate to live in a city where we have leadership that is so supportive of the community garden movement. Columbus really is a community garden capital. We have more community gardens per capita than any major metropolitan city. And just from 13 years ago, the number of gardens that have grown and increased is just amazing. And I think a lot of it is because of the resources we have here. We have Franklin Park Conservatory. We have strong grant programs, either ones that are offered from Scotts Miracle-Gro or also through other partners, the city and the county. And it really is something that people are seeing just the benefits of what gardening can do for neighborhoods. I mean, it reduces crime. It produces healthy food. It gets our children outdoors and active. So again, it's just a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. Anything else you'd like us to know about Scotts support and how people can get more information?
Well, if you go to our website, which is www.growgood.com, you can get information about our Grow 1000 grant program, but also to come out to Franklin Park, come out to the Scotts Miracle-Gro Community Garden Campus. There's so many workshops and resources here that are right here in our own backyard, and we just encourage people to take advantage of this.
And finally, from the Franklin Park Conservatory is Bill Dawson.
And Bill, let's start by, can you tell us a little bit about the evolution of community gardening in Columbus over the years, because you've obviously been involved with it for some time and have seen it grow?
Yeah, absolutely. This is kind of the third or fourth resurgence of community gardening. We could go all the way back to the War Gardens, the Victory Gardens, the 70s with the hippies and the communes and organics. But the resurgence this time, when we began the Growing to Green program in 2000, and I sort of looked out in our neighborhoods and discovered about 12 community gardens, somewhat struggling. It was great to first discover those and that people were out there and they had the passion to improve their neighborhoods through gardening and through community. So, of course, we wanted to help those 12, but also we wanted to go out and speak to garden groups and block watches and neighborhood associations to tell them the benefits. It's we didn't want to go out in the neighborhood and build a garden and hope they come. We wanted to start with and by the community. We wanted to be alongside to provide resources and education so that those gardens were successful.
And from then, Bill, how many community gardens do we estimate that we have in Columbus right now?
Well, I'll have to go up to my office and check my phone because there's probably two more that want to start today. It's been that dramatic, but we have over 300 gardens, and that's all kinds of gardens, whether it's school gardens, community gardens, church gardens, special needs gardens. They're really everywhere. They're popping up everywhere in our communities, and we're there to provide those resources to them.
What are some of the elements of a successful community garden?
Land, money, education, resources. But first off, it starts with that core group that comes to me and says, Bill, I want to start a community garden. If you came to me and says, I want to start a community garden, the first thing I do is look behind you. Who's with you? Where's your core group? You start with a core group, and then we can easily teach them to widen that circle into their community, into local businesses, nearby schools, many groups that can help and be resources. So it really all begins with the core community that want to make a change in their neighborhood, that leadership, and then we can really guide them from there, everything from getting organized to being sustainable.
For a prospective community gardener or for someone who has just started one but's not looped in yet with Franklin Park, what would you advise them to do? Where can they go for more information and resources?
They can absolutely call me here at the conservatory. I advise them to go to our website and look at the Grown to Green page. That's fpconservatory.org. My phone number is 715-8090. Sometimes it's easier to get me by email, which is bdawson@fpconservatory.org, because I'm out in the community more often than I'm here. They keep me running pretty well with all these gardens, and I try to get to everybody that I can, and we'll provide them the resources. We'll guide them in the right direction.
Anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
Celebrate Earth Day. We're standing upon what, you know, makes us live. So we have to take a moment and think about where we're standing and what we're standing on and celebrate the Earth and protect it and do what you can for our Earth.
Thank you, Bill.
The city's investment of nearly $35,000 for 2013 was allocated to support 34 separate gardens for necessary products and services unique to each project. One particular award was made to the Rebuilding Together Central Ohio in order to acquire two rototillers and a trailer to be loaned as a shared resource for community gardens. For a complete list of recipients, you can go online to franklincountyohio.gov/commissioners/community gardens. That's franklincounty.gov/commissioners/community gardens. We are nearing the end of April, Minority Health Awareness Month here in Columbus. To help highlight the many programs at Columbus Public Health, Councilmember Priscilla Tyson held a special hearing of the Health and Human Services Committee Council Chambers.
And tonight we will take advantage of the spotlight provided by this important month to discuss the health disparities among particular groups of residents in our community. The health services available to these groups and the city's ongoing efforts to address these disparities and to enhance the overall health equity in the city of Columbus. But before I begin, I'd like to explain to our viewing audience the origins of minority health and why it has become such a critical time for our community. Created in April of 1989, the Minority Health Month is an annual campaign which focuses on health awareness and disease prevention in minority communities. In short, the five goals of Minority Health Month are: One, to provide information for individuals to practice disease prevention. Two, to promote healthy and active lifestyles. Three, to showcase the resources for and providers of grassroots health care and information. Four, to bring attention to the desperate health conditions between Ohio's minority and non-minority population. And lastly, to gain support for ongoing efforts to improve minority health year-round. Central to the mission and message of Minority Health Month is the fact that certain groups carry a disproportionate burden with regard to the incidence, prevalence, and mortality of certain diseases and health conditions. These are commonly referred to as health disparities. Health disparities are not limited to any single disease or health condition and are both measured and monitored through the use of public health data. Most health disparities affect groups who are marginalized due to their socioeconomic status, race and ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender, disability status, geographic location, or some combination of all of these factors. Individuals in minority populations tend to have limited access to the resources that many of us take for granted, such as healthy foods, reliable and secure housing, a quality education, safe neighborhoods, and freedom from racism and other forms of discrimination. So the purpose of this evening's hearing is designed to highlight and review some of the exciting and innovative programs and services that Columbus Public Health is pursuing to fulfill its mission and to address the health disparities that exist within our community. And I'll start this evening by introducing Dr. Teresa Long, who is the Health Commissioner for the City of Columbus. And then she will then introduce Mr. Ryan Johnson. The floor is yours.
Council Chair Tyson, this is actually an important both month, as you said, but really this is something that's so core and critical to our community. We really appreciate your highlighting this during this hearing. Actually, hearing you share a little bit of the history of Minority Health Month back to 1989, actually that has really been led and sponsored by the Ohio Commission on Minority Health, which I believe was started in 1986. So there's a history to that statewide, and actually I believe that the state of Ohio was the first state in the United States to have an office or a commission focused on minority health. And so kudos to our state, and we're very proud, and actually we have been involved in this Minority Health Month efforts probably since the beginning. And actually our efforts right here, again, have often in public health had a special interest when there are disparities in outcome and health opportunity. And it was actually in 1999 that we started the first office, a local office of minority health in the state of Ohio. Actually, we were appreciative to do that. The first person who served as the director was Carla Hicks, and she served in that role for a period of time. From 1999 till probably, I don't know, mid-2000s. And from that, you'll meet the next director, Ryan Johnson. But indeed, there has been a history to this, and actually the linkage between the Columbus Public Health Office of Minority Health and the Ohio Commission on Minority Health has been a positive one. And we were actually one of several offices that first started receiving some funds, and the first time the official funds came from the Ohio Commission on Minority Health to support minority health programming in communities occurred in 2008. So again, we're appreciative. We have received funds from the Ohio Commission on Minority Health since that time in 2008, really to help support our programming here in Columbus. So again, we're proud to continue to receive those funds. Sadly, some of those funds continue to wane, but nonetheless, we really feel, and obviously in the capital city, a partnership with the Ohio Commission on Minority Health. We're pleased they are sponsoring things all around the state this month. We obviously have been hosting and supporting events all around Columbus and Franklin County during this month. And so I'm very both excited. Clearly there is lots of work to be done, as you spoke to in your opening comments. So I want to turn this over actually to for a presentation by Ryan Johnson, who asked that I introduce him as a fabulous public health colleague. He is a fabulous public health colleague at Columbus Public Health, and he has the honor and responsibility to work with several others who are here. And actually, I just wanted to make mention Ryan's colleagues who are here. Nancy Bechtel, our Assistant Health Commissioner and Director of Nursing, is here. She is joined by Sue Ellen Bennett, who leads our entire section on health equity, in which our minority health programming falls. Though actually, I must say, we actually do have minority health interests and programming and equity interests and programming throughout our department. We would not be who we were in this community if we did not reflect that in all of our work. But again, Ryan has the responsibility to help pull it all together. And he's also joined by Hibu Noor, who works specifically with our Somalian community, but is one of Ryan's key staff and colleagues in working with the community on these issues. So again, I'm going to turn it over for the presentation to Ryan Johnson, the director of our office, the Columbus office of Minority Health, and a fabulous Columbus Public Health colleague.
Well, Dr. Long, thank you so very much. And Council Chair Tyson, on behalf of my colleagues that are here this evening, I would first like to say thank you for the opportunity to discuss the wonderful work of Columbus Public Health and its dedicated staff. Columbus Public Health is charged with assuring conditions in which people can and will be healthy. Our mission is to protect health and improve lives in our community. Columbus Public Health is the leader for identifying public health priorities and mobilizing resources and community partnerships to address them. Columbus Public Health has a strategic priority which are aligned with established department goals: reducing infant mortality, reduce overweight and obesity, reduce the spread of infectious disease, improve access to public health care, implement departmental reorganization. Columbus Public Health is made up of a range of programs providing clinical, environmental, health promotion, and population-based services. The department has an annual budget of approximately $46 million and is staffed by 400 full and part-time employees. Columbus Public Health has a rich history of helping people live healthier and safer lives, promoting social justice, and serving the underserved. We definitely care. Our many diverse customers know that they will be treated with thoughtful listening and respect. Our first priority is health and safety to our community. We are responsible for maintaining the public's trust through credible information, quality programming and services, and fiscal integrity. Credible science is the foundation of our policies and program decisions. Our clients, partners, and coworkers know that we will interact with them with fairness and equity. We strive to operate in a manner that is just and free from bias and prejudice. Columbus Public Health, like many public health departments around this country, are working to address the root causes of health inequities and create opportunities for all people to be healthy. CPH began this work in 2000 when it established the Office of Minority Health to focus on reducing racial and ethnic disparities. This was before funding was available from the Ohio Commission on Minority Health. In 2002, Columbus Public Health sponsored a community-wide forum on the Institute of Medicine's report, Unequal Treatment, Confronting Racial and Ethnic Disparities in Healthcare. In response, Columbus Public Health assessed its services using the National Standards for Culturally and Linguistically Appropriate Services, also known as CLASS. In 2004, Columbus Public Health established the Office of Healthy Neighborhoods, which is focused on geographic and neighborhood inequities. The Office of Minority Health is located within the Neighborhood Health Division of Columbus Public Health. My name is Ryan E. Johnson, and I am the program director for the Office of Minority Health at Columbus Public Health. Later, Healthy Places program was created to focus on the built environment and how those conditions impact health. In 2008, Columbus Public Health organized a series of community forums focused on the documentary series Unnatural Causes: Is Inequity Making Us Sick?, which examined the impacts of racial and socioeconomic inequalities on health. In 1985, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services issued the Secretary's Task Force report on Black and Minority Health. The report clearly established that differences in health status existed between the majority and minority populations here in the United States. The minority population was defined as African Americans, Latino Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, and Native Indians. The report stated, and I quote, "Despite the unprecedented explosion in scientific knowledge and the phenomenal capacity of medicine to diagnose, treat, and cure disease, Blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, and those of Asian Pacific Islander heritage have not benefited fully or equitably from the fruits of science or from those systems responsible for translating and using health science technology." And that was back in 1985. Health concerns as far as mortality rates. Compared to non-Hispanic whites, non-Hispanic blacks are 30% more likely to die from any cause. Non-Hispanic blacks are more likely to die from such chronic diseases as heart disease, hypertension, stroke, diabetes. Chronic disease, non-Hispanic blacks are likely to have chronic diseases such as asthma, diabetes, hypertension. Sexually transmitted infections, the rate of chlamydia among blacks is 9 times higher than that of whites. The rate of gonorrhea among blacks is 14 times higher than that of whites. The rate of syphilis among men is 15 times the rate among women with men who have sex with men being at the greatest risk. The rate of those living with HIV and AIDS among blacks is 2 times higher than that of whites. 1/4 of those diagnosed or living with HIV/AIDS were black males, which is higher than would be expected, given black males only represent 9% of the total population. Tuberculosis. The rate of new cases is much higher among blacks. Many of these cases are due to individuals born outside the United States, with Somalia as the leading country of origin. Birth outcomes. Non-Hispanic black mothers are more likely to have a low birth weight infant and or infant born preterm. Teen birth rates are higher in both non-Hispanic black and Hispanic Latino communities. So the choices you make are affected by the choices you have, and Columbus Public Health wants to create opportunities for all people to be healthy. The environment in which you live, learn, work, and play impacts your health. So please take a look at some of what our programs are doing. I would like to stress that this is not a comprehensive listing. All Columbus Public Health programs are focused on improving the health of residents and reducing existing gaps. I'll start with creating healthy communities. It promotes traffic safety through a community coalition by focusing on safety belt use, drinking and driving, speeding, pedestrian safety, teen driving, and motorcycle safety. Healthy children, healthy weights. Promotes a healthy weight in children from birth to kindergarten. Healthy places. Works to establish policies and practices and creates places that foster physical activity as part of our everyday life. Healthy homes. Provides an in-home assessment and support to protect children against hazards at home by focusing on asthma triggers and lead poisoning. Sexual health. Offers quality services to prevent and control STDs, which includes testing, diagnosis, treatment, prevention education. Caring for Two. One of our 102 federally funded Healthy Start projects in the nation working to improve birth outcomes for African American women. COPE. This program works to assure pregnant women are able to receive prenatal care so that their babies are born healthy and their children are able to receive pediatric care.
We're out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's CALLTHEROLL at columbus.gov. And don't forget, you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.